lifted our hands together and said, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive fresh revelation and application in this service. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. The things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. And he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, we have been looking at the Holy Ghost meetings. Last week I said to us that we have different kinds of meetings in the Word of God. There, we don't have the same. Sometimes you could just get used to one kind of meeting. So we identified a few meetings last week. We said the first one, and you know, because Christianity is built around meetings. It's around meetings. When you say church, forget some nonsense some people say today. I call it nonsense because that's what it is. Church is primarily a gathering. Okay? It's, you know, we say it's a people. It's a people in a gathering. So the gathering of the people is the church. So if you're a Christian and you don't know what to do in Christian gatherings, is as good as you are not growing spiritually. One of the things you know that one of the characteristics of spiritual growth is how you participate in Christian gathering. How you participate. For example, you know, when someone goes to church without a Bible, he's going to church, no doubt. Now, if you go to work, they won't ask you for your Bible because you're going to work. I mean, or maybe you want to board a plane. They will say, where's your Bible? Because that's not why you're there. But if you're going to church and you don't have a Bible, it's one of two things. You were not told it was church. Or you didn't know what church was about. Because church is a place where we study God's Word. So naturally, it will show the kind of enlightenment you have about the faith. So, the way you see, participate and appreciate Christian assembly or meetings shows how you are growing. For example, you know, you go for a prayer meeting. And after they pray for a while, say, is this all about prayer? You know, and they say, when are we going to sing? No, it's not a singing meeting. It's a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, we pray. Okay? So you must therefore have an understanding of how Christians gather. In Matthew's Gospel 18 and 20, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name together, there I am in the midst of them. Of course, that has a broad application in the sense of, he was talking about agreement, discipline, prayer is also there, you know, a couple of things in Matthew 18, 20. So you must know how to go about Christian meetings. So when we say Holy Ghost meetings, a believer who is well trained in the Word knows exactly what you're talking about. We're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. We're going to have a believer's meeting. We're going to have a prayer meeting. He knows. So when Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual things, I will not have you ignorant. It's one of those things you cannot be ignorant about. You know, and there are some things that are primary for a church. There's some things that they're good, but hey, that's not the church. And I see some churches are really out about, you know, go and get your PVC because there's an election season ahead of us. Nothing wrong in that, you know. Some say, okay, you know, guys, it's good to invest. There's nothing wrong in that. I mean, it's a good investment to know to invest. How do I say that? I'm not sure what I just said, but some say, you know, different things, and they had good things. But you see, that's not the primary reason for the church. If you know all of that, then they ask you, what is a revelation gift? You say, the book of Revelation. Or we say, what's an utterance gift? Say, utterance? Utterance? I don't, utterance. Is it the name of somebody? You know, that's, they ask you, what's the discerning of spirits? The sign of spirits? Sign of spirits? You don't know what it is. They ask the guy one time, he said, can you mention for me the things of the spirit? Is there a familiar spirit? Spirit of Ahithophel. That's what he's been hearing. You know, because that's what he's been trained to. I got one boy, he went for holidays. And so he came back, a young boy, about 6. So, when he came back, he went to the house of some family relatives of whom they attend, who attend another kind of church. So, he comes back, and then he said, okay, Junior, can you pray for us? Because that's what he just came back from holidays. So he said, in Jesus' name. It is how he started. He said, Daddy, fall and die. Mommy, fall and die. Because that's what he's been hearing. in the devotions of the relatives he went to. You know. So sometimes you find Christians. One time I told a guy, I said, can you pray the Pauline prayers? He said, Pauline. Who is Pauline? I said, it's Paulina. I don't know, Paul, the apostle, said, oh, prayers. Does he have prayers? Which book is that? I said, And you've been a Christian over 15 years, and you don't know there's Pauline prayers. And he said, that's kind of things that, you know, believers ought to know. So when Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. This morning, we're going to have Holy Ghost meetings. Amen? How we can have it? The same way we can have prayer meetings, we can have teaching sessions. So last week, let's get back to that quickly. We said we have different kinds of meetings. Can you remember that? You must know how to participate or behave in those different kinds of meetings. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says that you may not know how you ought to behave. There's a way to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God. There's a way. So we can teach you how to behave. How to do things. When you have a prayer meeting, how do you behave? I've seen people come for prayer meetings. And someone was going for a vigil and they carried dinner. Dinner and juice. What did they tell you you were coming to do? A brother like that, we had Holy Ghost Street. Holy Ghost Street was a meeting we used to hold just like World Churches Conference. So that was 21 years ago or so. And he came and we're praying. I led the prayer. And the brother started, after one hour, he knelt down to raise his hands. We're still going 12 hours and you're worshiping the first hour. By the second and third hour, he said he has to go somewhere. So he left and came back in the evening with big sliced bread. And he brought juicy and sardine. He said, you know. By the next morning, he said he had administration. Off he went. So, you know, he didn't know the kind of meeting it was. I mean, you see people say, I don't like that church. Why? They're teaching Bible too much. Someone once said that our church, we are too serious. I can't imagine what some Christians can say. Say they are too serious. It's too serious. Let's loosen up. It's been wrongly taught. That's the point. So you must know how you ought to behave. So we said there are different kinds of meetings. There are teaching services, teaching meetings. There's a primary church meeting. A teaching meeting is where the Word of God is explained as a primary reason for the gathering. Now, we often call it Bible study. But see, every church service ought to be Bible study. Anyway, so the teaching service is what we call Bible study, where we can pick a subject, a Bible text, and we're explaining it. Okay? And that's a teaching service. We said oftentimes this is the primary meeting of the body of Christ. Then from there we have the prayer service or the prayer meeting. And I told you that the natural response to teaching is what? Prayer. If you are well taught, you will pray well. So, or you'll be inspired to pray as well. So we have teaching services and we have prayer meetings. A prayer meeting, we come together to pray over a common need or individual needs. We pray, we come together to make supplications, alright, on behalf of others or the body of Christ or for our nation, 1 Timothy 2:1, alright, that's a prayer meeting. Alright, what else we have? We have what we call an evangelistic meeting. Of course, I'm careful of that word evangelistic, but call it an outreach meeting where we go to reach people. I know yesterday quite a number of us did. We go out to preach to people and to take the gospel to them. Okay? So we also have healing meetings. Healing meetings, people come together to receive healing in their bodies. We have a sick brother, a sick sister in Christ, also a sick brother, a sick sister, naturally speaking. You bring them, or friends and family, you bring them to receive healing. Also, we said we have what you can call workers or ministers meeting. And we saw that example in Acts 20, where Paul called for the elders of the church at Ephesus, Acts 20:17. Also, we have letters written just to Christian leaders. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, right, was written to a Christian leader. 2 John, 3 John were written to Christian. Philemon. So we have, kinds of audiences that are strictly ministers, or let's say leaders. Now, we said last week that we can also extend that to church workers. Can you remember that? Okay. So we also have, let's go again. We have teaching meetings. What else? Prayer meetings. What else? Outreach meetings, healing meetings, then ministers or workers meetings. Now we have another kind of meeting. Now, in all the meetings I've said, there's usually a participation from the audience that is more of listening or receiving, except of course because the outreach meetings we all still participate, but the teaching services are only one person is teaching, we're listening, maybe asking questions. The prayer services, we're all praying, but someone is leading us, okay? The healing services, well, someone is also ministering and we're getting healed. The outreach services, we are going together. Now, the workers meeting, of course, most of the time is the pastor, the leader, who is also speaking. But there is another kind of meeting called the Holy Ghost meeting, or believers meeting. Now, it's so titled by someone like Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. And what kind of meeting is this one? It's a meeting where we said last week that the word of God is preached, just like we're doing this morning. The Holy Ghost is giving a free course. I'm going to focus on that this morning. Giving a free course to the Spirit. Say, giving a free course to the Spirit. Now, you must have known what a free course is. Where you, let's examine a not too cool example, but you're driving on the express, and then if you're a Nigerian, you start to see some people, the cars are slowing down. Many reasons. No, let's go into the negative ones, but maybe there's a traffic situation. Okay? Lagos Ibadan now has that. Even Google is confused. Google will say, whatever happens. When you get there, be patient. So, you have that. So, what has happened? There's no free flow. I remember just how many days ago I came from Ibadan down to Lagos, and the drive was 50 minutes, less than 50 minutes, to that place of the no free flow. And we're there for 5.5 hours. A typically 15 minutes journey or 10 minutes journey. And you can't get down and start running. In fact, because already there's even traffic of feet. So you have to wait. So at that point we're just watching, and that's why, such journeys, you ensure that your tummy is not full. Oh, you should know what I'm trying to say. Okay, that's a parable. So, you say, and I'm like, what? Hey, we have to be there? And the Google will say, 1 hour, 45 minutes. So, 3 of us were checking our Google Maps. One will say 2 hours. Happy, this is not possible. One will say 1 hour, 15 minutes. There was hope. Not knowing that this one, the network is bad. So, we kept asking, who is correct? Sometimes you don't want to face reality. That these 2 hours is your real travel time. And we had to be there, for hours and hours and hours. We hours and hours and hours. There was no free flow. Why? Because there were hindrances on the road. Of course, positively somehow, because they're making the road, smooth. We also have others that, you know, some guys, they call it checkpoints of the police or military. And so you wait and all that. But there's no free flow. So it normally will hinder your destination or your journey. And sometimes we've had cases where you had to turn back and say, some other time. I remember one time like that. I saw a couple. They were going for a wedding ceremony in Ibadan. That was in the 90s or so. So there was a serious traffic, and all the food, everything was on the express, so they couldn't go further. So they just shared the food. That was a good girl. And I said, well, the key thing is that both of you are together, so just get married and move on. You know, what a way to say we got married on the express. How about that? You know, so I think that's some prophetic word. You just go express wedding. So in that instance, you have something just stops you. Now, the same way, there could be an entrance to a free flow of God's Spirit. So the Word of God is preached and taught. The Holy Ghost is giving free course. Free course. Now, how is the Holy Ghost giving free course? Is when we don't put roadblocks. Roadblocks. When we don't put, you know, hindrances. Hindrances. For example, if you come for a teaching service without a Bible, there's already an hindrance. That hindrance is, you are not going to be at the same pace with the teaching. On the same pace. Because there's an hindrance. You've already, the attitude with which you came is already an hindrance. So, the same way, if we have a Holy Ghost meeting, a believer's meeting, what kind of hindrance? So let's see a couple of things. Look at our 1 Corinthians 12 again. 1 Corinthians 12. You know, we said it's meant to be an expressway. It's called Lagos-Ibadan Expressway. But it's no longer express. Because there are roadblocks. So which means that the purpose of it has either been hindered or, you know, disturbed. So, now, God, pay attention now. If I don't know the purpose of a thing, a man by the name of Dr. Miles Monroe, man of God, he's been with the Lord now, going to be with the Lord. He has a quote that I love a lot. He said, where a purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. How many have been, I mean, you just walk into your living room, and then you see someone. You know, you have some of us do that a lot. You have a dining table like this, the dining room, and someone's in the living room, and he's eating in the living room. Right? And in the dining room, he's saying, I just prefer it here. No, that's the dining room. This is the living room. This is the sitting room, or they call it the parlor. What do you, any word? Parlor. I don't like that word. So, he said, that's not the purpose. So, if you don't get the purpose, then you might be doing exactly what I said. So, you have, what is the reason why God gave you His Spirit? Why? Paul says, you must not be ignorant. You must not be ignorant. So, look at 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, I want us to read verse 3 together and slowly. Let's go. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man... Now, hold on. No man what? Speaking by the Spirit of God. Stopping there. A primary reason why God gave you His Spirit is to speak. So, if God gave you His Spirit to speak, that means when you are in a Holy Ghost meeting, is that clear? You are in a speaking meeting. So, the primary reason why He gave you His Spirit is to speak. And you see, if you track back a little bit, and you look at the work of the Spirit throughout the ages, throughout the Old Testament. Peter in 2 Peter 1:20 says, no prophecy of the scriptures is of private interpretation. He said, but the prophecy came not in the old time, 2 Peter 1:21, by the will of man. Now look at what he said. He said, holy men spoke, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Holy men. They spoke. So God gave you His Spirit. He gave people His Spirit throughout the scriptures to speak. Say, God gave me His Spirit to speak. To have something to say. Well, let me say that. Say, God gave me His Spirit, so I'll have what to say. That's why He gave you His Spirit. So if you are not speaking, right, you are creating a roadblock. Are you here? On that expressway. God gave you His Spirit so that you can speak. Remember last week we looked at the day of Pentecost. When Jesus told them, Luke 24:49, he said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem to be endued with power from on high. So we saw them in Acts 2. Pay attention. In Acts 2:1, now when the day of Pentecost, it says, was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And there suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, Acts 2:2, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice something. It says, they were here in one accord. We are still yet to see any action. In verse 3, Acts 2, it says, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. Now, can we slowly read verse 4 together? Let's go. They were all what? Filled with the Holy, and? Hold on. And what? Now, who began? God or they? They began to speak, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, which means, write this down, when God gave you His Spirit. Now, have you had the course where, and I like to share it like this, you know, there's this story like that I often like to say on things like this. There's this guy, he wanted to leave America then for England. So he decided to sell all he had to go to England. So he put everything and sold it. And he said, I'm just going to go on a one-way trip to England through the ship, through the waters, through the sea. So he bought the ticket and he took some bread and some milk to eat along the way. Hopefully that will last him for the 2 weeks or so of the trip. But somehow, the whole thing finished within a few days, even with fasting. So he began to, of course, get hungry, first and second day, and he kept looking at other people, other passengers who, were enjoying themselves. They go to the restaurant, they go to the bar, and he's looking at them, he's wondering, oh my God, all I have is just bread, it's finished. What can I do? I won't die here. And he's telling himself, after 2 days when hunger was killing him. That's literal translation. That's no caps. So he goes, say, well, I'm going to just go into the restaurant, eat, and the worst they will do for me is to ask me to wash plates. That's a Nigerian thinking, I'll just wash plates. So he goes there, he began to eat. When you start eating like that, after 2 days, you start eating like tomorrow is going to be the last day of your life. So he's eating and eating, and then he's noticing nobody's. So he's feeling really bad. So he started to run away, try to escape. As he's leaving, no one's stopping him. So he felt bad. He comes to the restaurant head, and he says, are you looking at me? I just finished eating and I didn't pay. And I just felt it's wrong for me to run away and all that. The man said, pay? He said, did you pay for this flight? I mean, this trip? He said, yeah, let me have your ticket. He showed. He said, oh, well, you've always had access to this restaurant. Man said, you know? He said, you mean all along, and at that point, his stomach is already full, so. So, he says, oh God. So, now, of course, the journey is going to end the next day or so. Oh, you feel that way, right? So he's like, oh, what's that? So, he tries to look for space, but there's no space, and there's no takeaway. So, you know, he really feels bad. You know, that's how some believers really are. They say, God has given me his spirit. Oh God, give me utterance. Where? Oh God, if you can give me revelation, where? Oh God, if you can... No. He gave you his very best. Hallelujah. He gave you his spirit. So, the first hindrance to a free flow of the spirit is ignorance. You just don't know. Pure ignorance. A dear brother, Brother Solomon, he's been born again for years. I didn't even notice this. I shared another story with last week. This brother, very fervent, and he loved the Lord a lot. So one day, we've been walking together between 93 and 94, but I think he went for a while, came back. So one day, I just noticed that we're all praying in the spirit. And he was just saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, that's not a tongue. He said, oh God, Father Lord, oh God, Father Lord. You know, what is happening, Father and Lord together, you know, there's trouble. He's supposed to be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Father and Lord, that's hypostatic union. So, where he said that. So I said, Brother Solomon, do you speak with tongues? He said, I've been believing God. For what? He said, for the precious gift. He got born again in 1986. I was speaking in 1996. 10 years. And he's so fervent. I said, you mean all along? He said, I didn't notice it because we had walked. I just didn't notice. I said, you are not serious. And you have been here. Look at this one, this brother. He got born again last week. See how his own is flowing. Look at that sister. You've been. He said, I know. I was waiting. You are waiting. Even if you want to apply Luke 24:49, how many days did they wait? As someone was saying, I said, it's New Testament Job. Your own is 8 years. How many months was Job's own? Eh? Do you get it? So, you know, some people have those kind of thinking. So that's how I just showed him scripture. I didn't even show him so much scripture. I said, you have to speak in tongues. What nonsense? I said, look at scripture. So you're going to talk in tongues now. I said, yes. So look at this new convert. Those who were on their way to hell when you were already in Christed. I laid hands on you. You know that the thing had been there. The way the tongues came out. He was not jumping. It was a classroom. He was jumping. I said, don't come and break the... How can you be born again 10 years? You are hearing this for the first time. Well, what have you been doing? I speaking in tongues. That is how you not stop. Say, bro, we have to go home. We are going home. So in ignorance. Some guys just don't know. You know, right here as you are, God has given you utterance. Say, God has given me utterance. I have what to say. I always have what to say. Glory to God. You know, every time people come to me and they say, can you pray for me? And they just ask for counsel. And I don't have anything in my head. We'll get to that in the second sentence. I don't have anything in my head to say. And I've seen this 100% of the time. As soon as I open my mouth to speak with tongues. And from there, I begin to talk to them. 100% of them say, what? I remember a fellow... He came here, he was here, last year. He came, he's a pastor. So he came, green room, my it was a lobby, what do you call this? Was here. So he came in, he said, sir, we have this thing I want to discuss with you. So I just said, hold on, let's just pray. I didn't let him elaborate. So I began to speak in other tongues. So as I spoke in other tongues, I began to pray for him. Then he literally opened his eyes when I was praying. Do you know how you can feel eyes? I thought someone was looking at me. So I look at him, say, sir, that's exactly what I wanted to tell you. I said, you came to a man of God. He said, yes. A man of God will speak for God. He said, yes, sir. Are you not a man of God too? He said, yes. That's how men of God ought to speak. We have God's oracles. Hallelujah. So you have what to say. Say, I have what to say. God, by giving you his spirit, has given you utterances. Glory to God. Sin made us dumb spiritually. The life of God gives us a speaking ability. Are you there? You have what to say. So, ignorance is the first one. When you don't know. That's why Paul will ask them in Acts 19 too, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I told you the story when I went to Zimbabwe. The same, you know, kind of example. And you should see those guys, they've been wrongly taught. Just like my own brother, my friend, they've been wrongly taught. And you know, sometimes when you are even wrongly taught, you will be mocking those who are doing it. Say, fake. You know, someone said, these ones are religious modernizers. What do you mean? Say they want to bring the word and the church together, but God will not allow them. And you are the ignorant one. And this person, when university there, took all our gold, she just attended the church, took all our gold earrings, everything. I don't know whether it's real gold, but it looks like it. I don't know, so that I would not lie. But it looks good. You know, if it shines, it's gold. She took the gold and everything. I said, last week I saw your necklace there. Where are they? Said she took it and put it inside the pit. Eh? Said yes. Because I'd rather go to heaven than... And she was arguing with me. It was a law faculty, so we were trained to contend. My friend used to tell me there, he said, you know, contention and strife will never leave your life. I said, why? He said, you left all the courses in the world to go and study law. Say you are trained in contention. So when you are praying for blessing, you say, God bless me in this strife. Say, God will punish all of you. You know, and she was so proud to say it. So proud. The people that are just wearing, they're going to hell. Say, you took. I said, why didn't you just tell me? I'll give the people that need it. She put everything inside. Pit latrino. So that one is journey of no return. At least if you threw it at the, what do you call it now, the waste dump. Somebody else who has sense will pick it. You know the thing is, I see the same person today. The ring is not just in her ears, it's here. When we say you don't fight, that's why you bring out knife. You don't understand that word. You know? Why ignorance? That was not conviction from God's word. That was not. I never understood it like that. How much is this always sisters? Today, she'll do break. Tomorrow, low cut. She's convinced. The spirit is convinced. The next day, I said, choose one. The truth is that you like breaks. Say, hey, but it's not my desire. It's his desire. Sis, wear your braids. It's not a problem. She said, no. You know, we have to be careful. I see her today. She has more than braids. What do you call this one that from Brazil? Did you get it? So sometimes ignorance. Pure ignorance. And sometimes the ignorant people are the ones that allow them. I know what I'm saying. What are you saying? Ignorance. Number two. Lack of reverence. Lack of reverence. Where we don't revere. The Bible says we have received the kingdom of God, which we receive in godly fear and reverence. Godly fear. That is as a fear, a reverence. A holy awe. That's what Peter was telling Ananias and Sapphira. You were here to tempt the Spirit of God? Acts 5. There should be godly reverence. That's why don't join anyone. You know, some people say, I'm scabashing. Don't say things like that. Say, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praying in the spirit. Don't say, there's nothing like that. I'm scabashing. Don't use it in stupid ways. Have reverence. We're looking at roadblocks to a free flow of the spirit. Because we are going to have a free flow of the spirit this morning. So we're going to have a free flow of the spirit in this service. So we're taking out the roadblocks. Ignorance is the first one. You don't know. You don't know. You have irreverence. Irreverence. Now that irreverence may come from an angle of someone that already knows. But you know, has just become light and loose about the things he or she had revered before. Yes. Become irreverent. And I'm saying this to some of us who you used to treasure prayer meetings. And then you just go, and then you find it easy now to be praying and removing your phone and be, hello, are they prayer meeting? Are they prayer meeting? You know, that's irreverence. Irreverence. Lack of regard, lack of honor. And he said, why are you asking prayer? Is it not prayer meeting? Is it cool down? Is it not prayer meeting? You know, in Mark 6, when Jesus went to his hometown. Because they had known him well enough. They had known him. And this is why all of us must be careful not to be looking for something God has given us. Has given to us. You know, you can be looking for healing. And a healing minister is your cousin. Your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband. You can be looking for what is not lost. But you know why you didn't get healed? Because you never saw that person in that light. So irreverence. Jesus got to his own town and everybody said, who is he not Jesus? We have our sisters and brothers not here with us. You know, that what kind of language is that? So what? The Bible says he could do no mighty work. There was nowhere that was said about him. He could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. He said a prophet is not without honor except among his own people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we have irreverence, you go for a prayer meeting, you go for a teaching service. Yes, hello, yeah. We'll talk later. Before phones, were you not alive? Will you die if the phone is not with you? Some of us even time of morning devotion that you ought to use to just listen to God's word. You are on the phone and you are praying in spirit. And you ask him, are they? Later, I'm praying. No. That's irreverence. Hallelujah. Jesus said when you want to pray, you enter into your closet and pray. So you have reverence for the things of God. You have reverence for the things of God. So irreverence would breed familiarity or comes from familiarity, and dishonor can be a roadblock to the flow of the Spirit. I'll take a third one. The third one is lack of paying attention to instructions. You know, Paul, I'll have the fourth one. Paul said much of that in 1 Corinthians 14. And he had to guide the Corinthian church with instruction. Instructions. We say, in the name of Jesus, brethren, let's lift our hands. That's when we would kneel down. Brethren, let us begin to pray. So we start to sing. You know, brethren, Acts of the Apostles, they were in one accord. Which means that if one was praying, everybody was what? Praying. That's how it is. One accord. But someone says, well, that's not how I'm led. That's not how you know, and you have different kind of things people try to do. Does the guy make himself in the meeting and say, in Jesus' name, let's be quiet. God is speaking tongues out. In Jesus' name. Amen. So he's still speaking loud. As said the Lord. In Jesus' name. Ushers, please. Help us carry that brother out. And as they carried him, he said, oh, the Holy Ghost is even taking me right now. The Holy Ghost is taking me. You know. What? So I pay attention to instructions. Amen. So that's what Paul said. He says, let us all. He says, when we come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has an interpretation, has a tongue, has a revelation. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let all things be done to edify. Because it is by the Spirit, doesn't mean you cannot be instructed. You can be instructed in the things of the Spirit. Say, I can be instructed in the things of the Spirit. That's what I'm doing this morning. You can be instructed in the things of the Spirit. You can be told, rejoice, is an instruction. You can be told, let's kneel down together. You can be told, let's begin to speak in other tongues. You can be told, let's prophesy. In the things of the Spirit, walk with instructions. Hallelujah. You know, can you be told to pray? Huh? Brother, let us pray. You pray. That is also by the Spirit. Can you be told to go and reach the lost? So you can also be told to rejoice. You can be told, pay attention, to receive revelations. It's an instruction. You can be told. Like I was talking about our fast, I told the leaders, and I told also the workers and all of you in church on Wednesday as well, that you see, when God talks to a church, I've told you before, local churches that have pastors have specific instructions from God that he may not give another church. I've shown you that consistently in scripture. So if God gives an instruction, for example, and he says, we should do this as a church, and you say, well, I'll do my own later. What you have simply done is to grieve the work of the Spirit. What you have simply done is to stifle the free flow of God's Spirit. So that leads us to the fourth one, which I'm going to say together. Strife also hinders the things of the Spirit when there is strife. And I'm saying this specifically for those of us who live together, married, or friends. I mean, friends, you know what I mean by that. And, you see, when there is strife, I've told you before, strife, when believers are, let's call it fighting, if there's a longer game that the devil plays. Because, you see, all the time, always know that man is God's method for blessing men. So, God always uses men. What did I say? Now, if God always uses men, and Satan knows this accurately, in fact, Satan was startled that God became a human being to save humanity. At that point, he's totally aware. No, 1 Corinthians 2:8, Paul says, at the priests of this world, not only they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's totally aware that God will always use men. So now, because he knows that, now, I always say it like this, he's an experienced Satan, devil. He's been around. So he will know men and women, but it might be correct, it might be incorrect. He says, God's going to use this fellow. I can see. When he begins to see you pray strangely in the morning, you wake up and say, there's something happening here. So what does he do? He will create strife. Right? Before you know it, the people that should bless you, you are fighting them. You will now be looking for something that God gave you. Through men. God will always use men. He will always use men. I'll say it again. God will always use me. He'll always use you for someone and use someone for you. So where there's strife. I remember I mentioned this the other day. We're having this series of meetings in 1998. And we're preparing for Holy Ghost, which is 1999, March 12th, precisely. And we've been having meetings with glorious times and encounters, preparing for Holy Ghost meetings. Why? Because we said by the Spirit that the Holy Ghost meeting will trigger so many things we had said about Revelation. And even some other brethren came, you know, things were going on. Suddenly, from nowhere, I know, not from nowhere, it's from the heart of men. Brethren started to fight. You see, even your pastors, see, we've grown together. There's virtually no Sunday that we don't see for as long as I can remember, 15, 17 years. Oh, yeah, we always come together. We come, we eat together, we watch football together. Hear that part, that's very important. We usually watch football every Sunday together. And you know, we have different clubs. But to the glory of God, there's no Chelsea fan amongst us. That's, we have some devils, you know, and who talk. We have some Barcelona fans. So we should have, you know, but you know, something as trivial as that is, we have instances where I'm talking about your pastors. They'll say, no! Don't say that! I don't say, it's football. We had just finished a pastor's meeting. Spoke about the will of God for the earth. No! I don't want to mention their names. If they are here, I will have called them out. I said, football. And you know, Satan plays a long game. But you know, you say, who is this person? What? It will be from football to other things that you now have in your heart. When the person is giving the prophecy, you just say, don't say, which Lord? You know? And it was the Lord. So, Satan plays the long game. So, always keep your heart free from offense. Did you hear that? Always. You cannot choose who God is going to use. So, always keep your heart free from offenses. Whether it's people close to your spouse, just say, I'm not going to call you. Or your spouse is calling you, won't pick it. What said to me? I'll punish you. And it's God that wants you to say something. Say no. Say, I'll call you later. So that I don't want to talk to you now. I don't want to talk. What? You know what I'm saying to you. And you are in the flesh. In fact, you're not just in the flesh. The flesh is in you. And if you had picked, and you know, after you had finished all that drama that you watch on African Magic, you now have to say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I receive revelation knowledge. How? Now, how? You just caught the call of revelation knowledge. Yes. So you keep your heart free from offense. In a local assembly, don't have brethren and say, those brethren, No. That's why Paul, when he began to speak about gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, in the midst of it, he spoke about love. Because the things of the Spirit are ministered effectively through the hands of love. That's why edifying others is a function of love. I was talking about that meeting. As soon as the meeting started, we're planning for the meeting. And the funny thing is this. We had opposition. People were already speaking about the meeting. They were already tearing the posters. They were doing stuff like that. And you know, I told you before. Usually, when you are being opposed or persecuted, if you are not careful, those words will get into your heart. You will react to someone close to you. It happened to Moses. It happened in the early church. They were fighting them at one point they started to fight themselves. So you guard your heart immediately. And you know, the thing is, a divided house cannot stand. You need a united house. So we began to argue. I didn't even notice it. Some brethren were arguing, some brethren were fighting, and if I tell you what they were fighting over, you will close your ears and you'll be laughing. Stupid things. And they were really arguing. So we had three camps. And I was in one of the camps, not knowing. They put me in a camp. So the meeting happened. The meeting we had been praying for 7 months. We now were striving 1 week to it. 2 weeks actually. We were fighting. And so, the sad part was some people who were part of the planning believed that the meeting was not going to be glorious. So in their mind, they felt, since we're fighting, now, those that we invited were the ones that were giving testimonies of the meeting, not those who planned it. Which means that what we prayed for happened, we just did not receive it. Tell your neighbor, say, stay away from strife. Not just strive in church, oh. Strive at your office. I've told you, not about church alone. Strive in the family. They know me in my family. You, as soon as you be, there was one of my, he said, you don't pick my call. I said, because you are always talking about other cousins of mine. Say, I'll stop it. I said, I'm not sure. I'm not going to pick your call. I don't want those things. I don't want that kind of thing. I don't want you to put something in my mind. My mind is already full. I'm looking for money. The way I'm looking for money, you're busy. I said, it's already full. I don't have that time to be processing. Hey, so on that day, that was what he meant. On that day, see what you are using your mind for. You are imagining. Okay, so when he entered the door did not enter. Oh. You begin to reason to you. I said, no. Please keep me away from some things. Right? I'm just telling you, it's for your own good, oh. Thank you, Mr. Gossip. So, you know, you watch those kind of things. Like someone said something to me, he said, so this information you gave me, what's it for? He said, I don't know what you mean. Ah, there's a purpose for everything. Is this to pray? He said, no. What is this information for? I got the devil look stupid. And he said, just to tell you, you know, tell me what? For what? Now there should be a purpose. Is it to make the person bless me more? No. To make me bless the person more? No. Have you prayed for the person? No. Are you sure you are not the devil? No, there's devils, there's the devil. So, we guard our hearts. Amen. We guard our hearts. Sometimes it's competition, even for those who sing. Sometimes we just feel like, I'm not the person that always give me the microphone. And I have a voice, so I'm talking to you people. I used to lead, you know, and those things will creep into your heart. They now be having new songs from the street. No matter what men say, I'm a vessel of God. Look, there stands in that spiritual song. That one is Samu. Matter what men say, I know I have the hand of God. You gotta be careful. Amen. And so, when someone else is now singing, you're not the one, you say, what song? What song? This song is even look like one Mariah Carey song. This song don't look like, it doesn't look like the Holy Ghost. So you know, and you know, sometimes you feel, I'm the one that's supposed to call to preach. Someone else is preaching. No. You are not meant to preach. You are meant to listen and be blessed. Amen? Amen. When you have that attitude, we have a free flow of the Spirit. Say today, we have a free flow of the Spirit. So the first thing we said is ignorance. And no one here is ignorant. Hallelujah. The second we said is what? Lack of reverence. The third, paying attention to instruction. The fourth one, strife. Hallelujah. So God has given you utterances. Hallelujah. The utterances start with speaking in tongues. You speak with tongues. Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now speak with tongues. Hold on, what did I do now? I gave you an instruction. Go ahead, speak with tongues. Go ahead, come on. Raise your voice a bit. bit more. Hallelujah. Now hold on. You know, speaking with tongues also involves singing in tongues. Now sing in tongues. 1 second. Singing in tongues simply means you put melody to the song with the intention of praising God. Is that clear? Go ahead. 1 more second. 1 more. Hold on. Singing in tongues does not mean, there's reggae. There's juju. There's Fuji. I'm not joking. That's me. Doesn't have to flow that. Is that clear? Go ahead. Sing. Raise your voice. What do you do when you praise God? I think you raise your hands too, right? You can raise your hand. I should do it. Oh, my name is Amen. Alright, hold on. So, God gave that to you, right? And it's a free flow. Right? God gave that to you. There's a free flow, not only for this service, but all through the day, right? God gave that to you, and there are no roadblocks. Say, there are no roadblocks for a free flow of speaking with tongues and singing with tongues. Now, what else has He given you? He has given you interpretation, which means that every time you speak with tongues, He has given you the meaning. Say, He has given me the meaning of everything I say in tongues. God, by His Spirit, has given to me the interpretation of all the tongues that I speak. By an act of my will, I give the interpretation of the tongues. So again, that's it. What's an interpretation? It means to give meaning to it. It means to say in English or your native language what you just said in tongues. That's what it is. Now someone say, well, you know, I'm not too sure. You are sure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God has given you the meaning of the utterances. That's why Paul will say, if anyone speaks with tongues, let him desire to interpret it. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Desire to interpret it. That's all he said. And that's the instruction we are going to follow this morning. Is that clear? We are going to follow the instruction to interpret the tongues by desire. We'll do it by desire. Why is it by desire? Because you have been given. You have been given interpretation of tongues. That is why you can desire to interpret your tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Paul says, you should not forbid to speak with tongues. You should covet desire to prophesy. So what is prophesying? Prophesying is tongues plus interpretation. Now, you can prophesy without speaking in tongues. The Old Testament folks prophesied without speaking in tongues. You can prophesy without speaking with tongues, but if you prophesy, if you speak with tongues and interpret the tongues, it is prophesying. Prophesying means to say in your known language or give an utterance by the Spirit in your known language. So, tongues plus interpretation of tongues equals what? Prophecy. So if you are asked to prophesy, you don't have to look for something. I put it like this. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will come upon them. Now in the New Testament, that's the phrase, it still comes upon us. In the New Testament, God has given us this way. The moment I speak with tongues is similar to the Spirit coming upon me. And from that point, I begin to speak utterances given by God. So, if I'm asked to prophesy, I don't say, how do I prophesy? I remember one time like that, we had this meeting, Kingdom Harvest Festival, 1994, December. And this man he helped us with the meeting, so I just felt he was a pastor of another church. So I just felt he knew. So we're having a believers meeting. So I asked him, Reverend, please, can you just minister to us by the Spirit? That's how he stood there. I first felt maybe it was a move. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I said, oh, sir, the Holy Ghost. So I said, let the Spirit take control. I said, hey, whoa. Then I said, yeah, I mean, Pastor, I find a way of saying something else. I just say, you know, so I just said, you know, there are different moves of the Spirit. You know, I just felt like this. Just put it aside. He obviously did not know that you don't say, let the Spirit take control. The Spirit has given you utterances. The Spirit has given you interpretation of tongues. And the Spirit has given you prophesying. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's do something again. Again, let's speak with tongues. Hold on, did you notice that you did it by yourself? Huh? Why are you able to do it by yourself? Because God has already given you. Because He has given you, you do it by yourself. What else? God has given you tongues. Interpretation of tongues. What desire does is that desire is the way you act on what God has already given to you. So this morning, I'm going to do it again. Let's speak with tongues one more time. Raise your voice a bit. You are able to raise your voice because you desire to. Come on. Now sing. Sing. Worship God with it. Go ahead. Sing. Amen. Now what you said now, you're going to do it all over again. You speak with tongues, sing with tongues, then sing it out in English. Are you ready? What's the way to do it? Desire. Right? Is that not it? Let's start again. Let's go. Now sing. Sing, sing, sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. Sing it out in English. Now hold on, there's something that just happened now. I was waiting for it. Usually, when you ask people to sing it in English, they now drop their voice. Why? Don't. Don't do that. It's like a lack of confidence. Is that clear? Follow the same tempo. It's like you just like doubt. Is that clear? Let's start again. Now sing. Sing in tongues. We have a free flow. We have a free flow. No roadblocks. Now sing it in English. Same tempo. Sing it in English. Continue. 1 more minute on that. Amen. Was that okay? Was that okay? Did you get the interpretation? Let me see if you did. Come on. Now I'm going to do one more before we now have a Holy Ghost with you. We're going to have many ones. You ready for that? Yes, alright. So as you, the song you sang now, write the wordings down. Even if it's just 2 lines, put it down. The wordings, write it down. for you. I don't want to read it. All right. Amen. No, keep on coming. When you're done, I'll know. Write the lyrics down. Okay, praise the Lord. Now read it. Does it mean something to you? Does it? Okay, now we're going to do something. You see those things you wrote? There's something about the flow. You know, the flow is, you can pick it up. So see, what you just wrote now, you can pick it up and get a deeper flow. What do I mean? For example, if I'm in a meeting now, and he gets up and says something. Maybe he says something about, let's say, the glory of God. And he says, the glory of God, let's use a common one, floods the hearts of men. You see? Now, by those words, I can search. I'll pray in tongues a little bit more. I can expand what he has just said. It's a flow. Are you here? It's a flow. The same way God spoke to people by progressive revelation. We can stop today, this morning, then next week we'll pick up from where we stopped and continue the flow. So the same way, by the songs you just wrote down, you can expand it. Are you here? You can expand it. It will look like you are talking about praise. But if you expand it, you'll get a bit more detail in what you just wrote down. So which means that the flow of God's Spirit in our lives, right, takes levels and dimensions. Whatever we do with this one, right, will determine what we will get next. Who's following what I'm saying here? So don't despise what you just did. It's from here, you flow into another, then another, then another. And we're going to do that this morning. Are you here? Learning something? Alright. So now take those things you wrote down. Now, begin to speak with tongues again. And you will get more words. Don't write anything yet. Just take those things. And as you speak with tongues, you will get more words. Just like God's word. Pause a little bit. Keep speaking. Sometimes when you are speaking in tongues, listen. There's a listening. Not that you are hearing someone. No. There's a listening. I discovered that many times where some folks have a problem with interpretation is that their mind is somewhere else. Listen. You begin to pick up phrases. This is actually into the second service. You begin to pick up phrases. And those phrases will be getting elaborate as you do it. Are you here? So just listen. Listen, there's an ability you have by God's Spirit that when you listen to tongues, you know the meaning. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not saying somebody else's own, no. Your own. You will be knowing the meaning. Say, I have that ability by God's Spirit. So if I can listen, I will know the meaning. Listen to what you are saying. You get, let's go ahead. Just listen. Amen. You got something? Put it down. Now, did you notice that the calmer you were, you are able to pick more? Who noticed that? Did you notice that? Now, when you are in a meeting, a Holy Ghost meeting, it flows with the same pattern. As you speak with tongues in a Holy Ghost meeting, listen to yourself. The interpretation sometimes is clearer and better if you are calmer. For example, if I'm speaking in other tongues and I'm getting to know that, okay, I'm saying something, let's say, because right now as I'm speaking, I was saying something about someone who sells fish here. I'll minister to the person shortly. Now, I may not know exactly what I'm supposed to say. Because I'm quick to say there's someone here. No. If I go ahead, just like you're writing, I'll get a bit more clarity in what I'm meant to say. So if you're in the Holy Ghost meeting and you speak in other tongues, you know, gather the interpretation progressively, then you'll be able to edify more intelligently. Is that very clear? Now, As you speak those words, I learned this from Brother Hagin as well. If you discover that you're a bit stuck, just speak in tongues a little bit, you'll be clear. Is that clear? Are you here? Alright. Amen. Was that clear? Let's do it one more time, then we'll stand up. Go ahead. All trances are given. Clarity is received. Lives are blessed. The Holy Ghost is in demonstration. The church is edified. We are all blessed. Amen. See, I'm intelligent in the things of the Spirit. I'm bold to give an utterance by the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet. Amen. We're going to walk in groups of threes. Amen. Groups of threes. Groups of threes. So find three people, or two other people, sorry, making three of you. And we're going to practice what we just did now amongst ourselves. Now, don't forget, hear me. You know, last week we also spoke about visible and tangible things by the Spirit. Huh? So it's possible that as this occurs, it's possible that you have people fall under the power. You have people rejoice. Different things will happen. Because utterances oftentimes lead to further things by the Holy Ghost. Are we here? So what you do is that pick someone that will be like the leader. Because that's how God works. That's somebody, not a person who do all the talking. But the person will be like, you're next, then I'm next. Are you there? So we've got 15 minutes. Let's go ahead. Come on.